Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and aren't subscribed, make sure and click the subscribe button, like, comment. Let us know what you think about the episode. If there's any particular questions you'd like us to ask a guest as a follow-up, or if you have a show suggestion, we'd love to be able to see your guys' feedback and then be able to incorporate it into future shows. On today's episode, I'm going to be chatting with Derek Rose from DNR Customs. You're going to know him from winning UCC. He's got that blue single cab 5.9 common rail that he's been racing. And I wanted to chat with him about the truck. He's just moved into a new shop, ask him about business, and some other things that he's been working on through his growth as a shop owner and also as a racer. So it's going to be a great conversation. Before we get to it, though, I want to remind you guys, our friends over at Kershaw Knives have a 20% off site-wide code for you. Just use code 20diesel at kershaw.kaiusa.com. It's a great way to be able to save some money on some really cool gear. If you need something for like EDC or hunting, fishing, or even just something to throw in a toolbox or have in a drawer, they've got a ton of different choices regardless of what your budget is. It's a great way to save some money, and we appreciate them offering this discount code just for you guys. All right, let's get to today's podcast with Derek from DNR Customs talking about his race truck business and his plans for 2023. How's it going, Derek? Welcome back to the Diesel Podcast. I'm excited to chat with you today. I think I've told you before on the podcast, your truck's one of my favorite ones of like all time. I remember we did a podcast way back in the day, I think when you were just getting the truck painted and doing other things with it. So it's been really cool to follow, you know, throughout the years. I always enjoy chatting with you.
Yeah, sweet. It's we've done this probably, I don't know, almost probably every year, I would say pretty consistently. We've had, you know, we've probably talked, maybe skipped a year here or there, but yeah, it's been good. I appreciate you having me on.
It's been a really interesting journey to follow from, you know, where that truck was to things you've done at, you know, like on the national level with competitions. And around this time of year, I always like to ask you, like, hey, what's the plan for this year? What are you going to be doing with the truck? So if you can walk me through, you know, what you're looking at for racing, events, maybe changes you made to the truck, you know, maybe some new stuff people should look out for.
Yeah, I mean, just a quick recap for some of those that don't know, you know, us and the truck. We've pretty much had it out since 2014, I would say, is I think my debut year. And, you know, we're going on what, so year 9, you know, so it's pretty much been the same pretty blue truck since then, but it's changed a lot, yeah. You know, in 9 years, right? I guess to start off, I mean, we came out last year swinging hard, pretty much took a year and a half off, you know, just after COVID and all that stuff. And we came out swinging, took everything that we knew that worked good, took everything that didn't work, threw it out, and we came out, set the four-wheel drive, you know, world on fire. I think we ran a 444 at 171. It was our best time, you know, and that was literally 8 passes in on a year and a half off, no testing. Which is I think we beat the record by like a half a second that weekend. So it was good. And then went straight into UCC last year and didn't really have, we had our track stuff dialed, but like overall setup wise, like we just had a brand new Motec system put in. So we had some bugs we were still working through, right? Like it wasn't perfect. And went into UCC drag race day and we nitrous wasn't working. We ended up doing like we only had like a little bit. We used like a half a pound of nitrous and we usually use like 6. So like, and it still went 473 and then got in the dyno. It blew up like normal. You know what I mean? Triple turbos. We already had a hurt hole, yada, yada. So it was good. And then, parts had some issues getting parts last year. So we didn't really do a whole lot. And then I had the opportunity, I bought a new building for my business. So I literally took the rest of the year off. Like we just kind of, you know what I mean? Like business first, play, you know, this without the business, the racing doesn't exist. Right. So yeah, I did that. And then, went into down to Florida last year, for the, Christmas tree race that Cletus McFarland puts on. So we did that real quick and, had a good time, went pretty much backed up our times from what we did. We were off by like a couple hundredths and had a good time. Ended up breaking the front end, steering rack kind of broke. So that was kind of my choice to, coming into this year, making some changes to the truck where we put a 9-inch front axle in front. So I still had the American axle, the AM 9 1/4. That's been under that truck since the day we started racing it. Took that out and been building a 9 1/4 the past couple months. Just hard to get parts. Like that's, there's only a handful of guys that have that axle under their truck. And every one of them is kind of a different configuration. So fellow racer, Austin Deutsch, kind of helped me source most of the parts and took care of, because he just did the exact same thing last winter. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of pressed the easy button and let him get me a lot of the parts because I just, with the shop, I don't have time to chase the stuff every day. So, and I'm about 90% done with it, I would say. I'm just waiting on my hub bearings to show up and I can pretty much finish the fabrication side of that. So that's probably the only change in new shocks. We're doing new shocks and shock travel sensors for the year. That's about the only changes that we're making coming in off of what worked last year.
With the different front end, was there a particular reason why you wanted to switch it? Was anything going on with the old one? Maybe just too much power or what was the main reason for wanting to go to the new setup?
I would say my main reason was the track width of the truck. So we're always a bit wide. So I could, mainly we did the front end back in 2017 in the wheels, like with factory knuckles, you can only suck the wheels in so tight before they hit the knuckles. So it still gives you like a 2.5 inch on the outside of the fenders. So it's just really wide. So what I was finding the back end, we're always trying to get, the groove is tight on the track. So it's kind of wide when we go diesel racing. It just seems a bit wider because we're racing against other trucks that have similar track widths. But when we go to like a car event, the groove's a lot narrower. So when we're running on the outside of the groove, we're in the loose stuff. We're just right on the edge of traction. So, and that's what I struggled with down in Florida, that finding the track wasn't good and a real tight groove got in and we were pretty much like outside it, and I fought traction. Safety is one of them. So trying to get the truck a bit narrower in the front, if we had to drive into the wall, getting it a little bit tighter. So that way, like we get more body and try to get some frame into it or something into it instead of the wheel hitting the wall and rolling up. And then weight, I would say, cause it gets pretty expensive when you start counting pounds at where the truck's at. So, but we should lose, I don't know yet, but I'm guessing 150 to 200 pounds off the truck, which was already pretty light. Yeah, that's probably it.
Well, that seemed like some big benefits to it. Yeah. You, before the podcast, we were chatting a little bit and you had mentioned some local things and focusing on that a bit this year. And I wanted to ask you about that side of it and why it's important and what it's going to allow you to do, not just as a racer, but then also as a shop owner, as a business owner, to be able to reach these guys that are either, right around you in one of the surrounding towns or maybe, a neighboring state or something like that, where they could, you showcase what you can do, take your truck in, they can take their truck in and you'll be able to get some work done, or maybe they want to build a race truck.
Yeah. I would say like the focus, up until like the past, I've kind of had in my mind the past year or so, but we just always seem to find ourselves traveling to an event, to where other diesels are, to go racing around the same group core of guys, and honestly, it's a small, tight group. Like we're talking 150 to 300 guys at most. Right. And it's the same pretty much core group. So, which is good. Like we help, when we go to those events, it's obviously promoting our sponsors, promoting the people's products that we use, in the industry, like as a whole. But what I've really feel that I've lacked, a lot of, we haven't really done much local stuff, events. I used to go run around, go do a sled pull, take my shop truck to a sled pull, go here, go there. We used to host events. We had some dyno events early on for like 3 or 4 years running. So we just haven't done any of that. And I've been kind of getting some feedback from locally, like, man, we want to see the truck. We want to see this. We want to see that. And, you're never around. And I'm like, I know. So now, you know, present day diesel's $4.50 a gallon. It costs a lot to leave. It costs a lot of money to leave the shop for a day. So my main focus, I would say, is to hit, you know, we're going to try to hit mostly ODSS events. There's only 5 of them, I think, this year. And then try to find some no prep racing, I would say, just south of Michigan border. Like there's quite a bit, like at Ohio, Indiana, there's some pretty good local events. And then we have, you know, Michigan has a pretty banging drag scene. Like there's a lot of fast stuff that comes out of here. So we have 3 good tracks, I would say, within, you know, within a 3-hour radius from my shop. We have 3 really good tracks. So my plan is to just kind of like show up, here's the truck, and, you know, maybe do a grudge. We might not fit a class, but even if we go make a pass or two, like that thing is an attention. It's a detention getter, right? So especially the speed it runs and it's pretty. So that's kind of my focus. You know, everyone's pulling the truck with the diesel, and just try to really focus on advertising locally to just do a little bit more for our business, which in turn is going to do a bit more for, you know, all the guys that help us out on the track and, you know, people that we buy product from. And I just never really kind of missed the boat, which I don't want to veer off course, but I feel like the success we had in racing, I didn't have my back end of the business set up right to like have our website to turn into that mail order company, or, you know, a lot of the companies that were, you know, install shops like myself or repair shops, you know, they kind of branched off. They all make products now, and kind of missed the boat on that. You know, kind of kicked myself a little bit there, but so I just want to focus a little bit more on what we're really good at. And that's, I feel, running a shop, you know, the performance side has went away. We do a lot more repair, a lot of transmissions, things like that. And just with good electrical diag. So just want to focus on, you know, what we're good at and let people know around, you know, that around us, you know, that we're here and make that happen.
You get a lot of questions for people who are either, well, there's actually a bunch of them that I've thought to ask you on this episode. But one of them, I think, would come from somebody who's just opened a shop. They're maybe leasing some space or bought it. They're, you know, maybe a year or two in, and they think of, well, how can I get attention for what I can do? And a race truck's a great way to showcase that. And I wanted to ask you more about what you just said with the growth is, you know, you went out there, like that podcast we did maybe 5 or 6 years ago, from that to winning UCC to, I mean, I've seen videos of the tire when you were on the dyno, like all over Instagram and Facebook and yeah, everywhere. So you got that popularity, you got that, that recognition. But then also your core is the repair shop, the diag, the doing the things that, you know, keep the lights on, and you've been successful at to get a new building. What kind of advice would you give somebody that's in that point of, you know, they're kind of struggling, like, how do I get my name out there or my product or showcase my talents, but then also stay on top of the office, the mechanics, the business itself?
Loaded question. Man, I don't have all the answers. Like I actually get some messages here and there from guys like, hey, you know, cause they see us posting some, you know, new photos of our shop, and like, it's nice, right? I put all my eggs in one basket and, you know, like, here we got it. Like I got that big shop. We got that big overhead. We got that big nut we got to pay every month. Right. We got it. Like we have to do so much work just to pay bills, and it's tough. And I don't know if building a race truck is the answer. That's for damn sure. Although it did well for me, we spent a ton of money, but you know, we built a lot of relationships with a lot of really good people in the industry. And with those people, I tell you, you know, we learned a lot. Like we broke a lot of stuff, you know, and the reason why some of the tuning and some of the products and some of the stuff is where it is today is because of me and a lot of other guys just doing things wrong, breaking stuff, like doing it the wrong way to, you know, to figure out the right way. But as like a shop owner, a new guy getting in, man, I don't know. It's tough. Like it's a lot of hours, right? It's a lot of dedication. It's a lot of, you know, like you ain't going home, you know, you're working late. Like I literally just had to like lock my door and close the damn, you know, the lights off, because like I want to do this, and it's only 5:30 here, and people are like, what time are you going to be there? Cause they know I'm always here. Right. They want to pick their truck up late. And I'm like, I'm cutting it off, you know, but, just, you know, you gotta like, damn, I don't know. Yeah, stay hungry, and I would say focus on local stuff, because it's so hard to get, like, to become a national, like, to have national attention. You know what I mean? Like, if a local guy starting out, like, I think I missed the boat. I wish I would have spent a little bit more time locally instead of trying to chase that stuff, you know, going traveling all over the country. Like, I feel like I'd maybe be doing a little bit better if I would have done more stuff locally, like what my plan is moving forward, or have, you know, you set up that infrastructure to be able to, you know, I look at like Firepunk, like I look up to those guys, they're my buddies, and LaVon's got it going on. You know, he started out super small and they got 20 plus employees, you know, but he has such a wide, you know, they do a ton of shipping. You know what I mean? Like, I would say our truck shop is right on par with theirs. We might even do more than them as far as truck shop goes, but they, you know, they kill it on, you know, they ship everything, you know, they are national brand, or we're not. I never really set that up, which I'm okay with it now. You know, I like to, you know, keep things in house, keep kind of control of what's leaving and coming in and out of the shop, and keep really good, you know, quality control. I would say that's where we're probably one of the best things. If I could give some advice to somebody, is QC. Spend the time, like, when that truck leaves your shop, make sure damn well you guys did everything you could to test drive it, have somebody else look at it. Like, usually, like, if I got a tech that works on something, usually two guys will look at it before it leaves. I know that sounds retarded, but it makes all the difference, because if somebody drives, whether it's 15 minutes from to you, or, you know, I got guys 5 hours away, bring them from the UP. We test drive them a lot. We make sure they're good. We let them know their issues. Like, and we've really struggled on how do you bill for that, right? How do you bill for all that extra time, you know, that you're spending on the truck? But I tell you what, I think that, you know, knock on wood, has probably been the best thing that, you know, that I'm really proud about, is we really try our damnedest. If somebody calls me and something happens just down the road, well, damn, if we, you know, we tried not to. Well, we drove your truck 45 minutes, you know what I mean? Where a lot of places, they'll do a repair and see you later, you know what I mean? Like, we try to let guys know, like, hey, 6 months down the road, like, you're going to need this, you know what I mean? And I never really go to the, no pun intended, but we have the bell tires around here. Like, I never do the bell tire approach, like, trying to sell people stuff they don't need. I'm not that guy. I'm not that shop. And I think that's gone a long way too with the success that we've had.
Do you think that somebody, when they're in that position, should decide, do I want to be national? Like, you gave the example of Firepunk, where I do think of them as national with their transmissions and things like that. Or think, hey, I want to be really strong in this city or this county or this region that I'm in. Because while there's some overlap, they're also very different as well with, you think of customer support, or, you know, I'm sure with UCC and things that you've done and things that you've won, you probably have people from all over the country or all over North America call you up and say, hey, I want this truck. And it's, you know, are you set up for that? Is that something that you want to do? So I think deciding what kind of attention or what kind of customers, potential customers, you want to call would probably be really helpful for somebody to think about in those early stages.
Yeah.
With the building you mentioned, I wanted to ask you, how scary was that, making that jump and jumping into it? What was that like?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Honestly, like, you know, like, just a quick story, like, I kind of quit looking, because when you look for something or you're trying to do something, a lot of times it just won't happen. And then if you just kind of let things roll out, and, you know, I'm a big, everything happens for a reason, it just kind of falls into place. I was going to build, you know, a $1 million facility right down the road from my shop. I bought property, everything. And I just seen the way things were going. I sold the property, put the money in the bank, and I just told myself, when it happens, maybe I'll find a nice place that I can, you know, step into and, you know, be half the money. And just, I got put in a bunch of, you know, work, and this place just fell into my lap. My trans guy got detoured on his way to work, had to go, you know, it's kind of out in the country or a new shop, but literally he's like, hey man, this building looks, I don't know. They just put a for sale sign up, call. No BS, man. I called Friday afternoon and it just got listed. It's been like somebody was trying to lease it out prior to. And the realtor's like, yeah, I'm like, hey, I want to come look at it. You know what I mean? It's priced good. It seems like it's priced cheap. Like, you know, it's 20,000 square foot building on 6 acres. Like, sure, I'll come, you know, like, and yeah, like looked at it on me and my dad went to lunch went to breakfast. And we're coming out here to look at it anyway. Realtor calls me, hey, I can meet you there in a half hour. You want to? I'm like, well, I was already on my way there anyway to go look at the place, you know, do a walk around. And he's like, perfect. So he got us in. Me and my dad looked at it for probably about 3 hours. Like we were all over this thing. And I'm just like, I can't find nothing wrong. You know, because I come from a construction background. Like I did concrete for 13 years. So like, I have a pretty good understanding of, you know, like just foundations and things like that. And so does he. He's been doing it his whole life. And I'm like, man, the block's in perfect shape. Like, you know, concrete's got some cracks and whatever. But like foundation wise, like I can't find nothing wrong other than somebody let this place go. And like, it's like a damn jungle around it. Like, I'm telling you, it was bad. So anyway, I put an offer in on Monday. Like I was ready to roll. And we went back and forth a little bit, litigated, and he accepted on a Thursday. So like that's how fast it happened. And I gave him a pretty healthy downstroke. I'm like, I'm buying this place. Whether the bank lets me or I have to beg, borrow, and steal. Like I just had it. And then from that point on, dude, I went deer in the headlights. I went all in. And I made it happen. Like I got the keys July 4th weekend. My wife made me go on vacation. We actually went to Tony Burkhart's place and we camped out up there for the weekend on the water. And I got the keys of this place, right? And I'm like, God damn it, I could be doing some work, you know? So she's like, nope, you're taking 2 days off. I'm like, all right, it's fine. So we did that. And so I got the keys, but I didn't own it yet. So I gave him a huge downstroke. I'm like, I'm buying it. Like, I don't care what the bank says, because it's going to take us, you know, it takes 2 months to close a deal, right? For a commercial real estate. So I just told the owner, and the guy, like, I don't know, he must have really liked me. I said, I'm buying it, but it's going to take some time. Can I start doing some stuff outside? I want to clean it up. So literally I just brought my skid steer here, brush hog. And I just started making this place like look nice, you know, all the way around. The owner comes to me a week later, week and a half, like the second weekend I was here. Cause he's some rich dude from California, like super nice guy. He's like, he comes, you know, walking up to me and I'm like, oh shit. You know what I mean? He goes, wow, I just can't believe this place. I should raise the price. You know what I mean? This, that, and the other. No, you already signed the deal. So anyway, like I went full bore. Like I went to my shop every morning where the guys were, got them going. And I would come here at like about 2 o'clock every day and work till dark. And I went all in. And it took me from pretty much July 4th weekend. We moved in October, third week of October. And spent every dime I had, half, to get in here. And I'm still a little, you know, I'm sore, but I don't know. I got a vision and I think it's, you know, I'm hoping it's all going to work out, but I laid it all on the line. So I'm here.
What's it been like with the crew that you have? And going from where you were to where you're at, and you know, are things more productive now? You got more space, more equipment, things you can get in there to really, you know, crank it up.
Yeah, we always had. So I had two buildings for a lot of people don't know. I had two shops for the last 2 years prior to here. I had Dylan, who does a lot of our fabrication and stuff, and then I'm a trans guy in another building, and then I had my core or truck shop in another building. So we did that bouncing back and forth and I thought it would be all right, but I hated it because I was at one shop in the morning and the other one, and it just was a cluster. But I mean, it worked, but I would say, you know, so we didn't have to buy a ton of equipment, but it's just so nice having it under one roof now. Yeah. And everyone's here. I would say morale is pretty good overall. Like the guys are, everyone's kind of jiving good. And this place it's big. And it's clean. Like it's older, but like I bought one of those little floor scrubber things, drive-on deals. Like you get a Home Depot And oh, we just love it. Like, I got my motto is we got a dustless facility. Like, I try to, like, because it's just cleaner out. I don't know, like, it's just cleaner out here. So, like, we're able to, like, you know, we run that thing around usually a couple times a week, and it's just nice. So, like, you know, everyone's not on top of each other. You know, we went from a 5,000 square foot building, only 4,000 truck shop, to working out of 15,000 right now. So, like, we got a lot of room. And, you know, went from getting four trucks in the shop tight to, I don't know, man, we can fit like 15 or 20 in here. Like, we're all over the place. So it works out good. Morale's good. I've had the same core guys for a long time. And, you know, I would say overall, I brought in a buddy of mine's helping me do like business coaching. So I brought in a guy to help me study the back end of the business process with the guys. Just a lot more business stuff. Cause like a lot of going back to maybe your previous thing, a lot of us diesel guys start a business. We're not business people. We like working on trucks and, you know, fixing things, getting our hands dirty. I'm a shop rat. I'd rather be out in the shop. I'd rather be welding. I'd rather be doing anything other than sitting in this office. But unfortunately, you get to the point, I'm the best person, I feel, in the office to be able to, like, handle tech calls. I'm really good at selling jobs, being familiar, talking to the customers. Like, I'm really good at it. I'm also really good at the shop too. So it's tough, but what I'm not good at is, you know, money, business things, like balancing stuff. So, like, I got a guy that's helping me out, and I tell you what, and he's, I kind of put him in charge. Like, he's kind of, it's like my best friend. So, like, I put him in charge of, like, and now, like, my guys really like it. I feel like, you know, like, dude, this guy's in charge. You guys listen to him. I'm kind of doing what he says too. And I think we've only had it in play for the past 3 months. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's making a huge difference. Like, our numbers are looking better. We got goals now, just all this different shit that I would never look at before. We're looking at, and now it's really sweet.
I've heard that from a lot of different guys, like Dynamite Diesel. Randy Reyes mentioned it. I did a podcast with him. Is during that growth, being able to kind of step back from managing everything and having people in place to be able to handle different departments or filter things, so you could focus on the bigger either goals or topics or changes or things that you really want to focus on, and, you know, how important that is. You know, I was thinking, I got a question from a listener recently, and I thought, you know, Derek would be a great guy to ask. Is somebody in the Midwest, I'm not sure exactly where they're at, but they were looking at a higher mileage 6.7 Cummins to pick up. And, you know, kind of depending on the region of the country, there's some different things that people face with, you know, the salt on the road and rust and things like that. But when somebody either brings a truck to you, say it's got 150, 200, you know, 250,000 miles on a 6.7 Cummins, what are some things that you guys look for that you would advise somebody, hey, check these things out, or be prepared to invest some money in these maintenance items or in these upgrades that you're going to need for reliability? Like, what goes wrong with them once they get 10 years and 200,000 miles on them?
Another loaded question. Like, it, man, I see them all. Like, just depends on the year. Cause, like, six, you know, we start talking 6.7 Cummins, like, you know, we're getting 2018s in here. They got 150,000 on them. Right. So, like, but yeah, then sometimes you'll get a clean 08 in here that's got 150K on it. So, like, I don't know, for us as a shop, I've always tried to steer customers away from the real early 07 and a half to nines. Cause in my eyes, you're not really gaining anything other than like a sweet 06 or 0759. Like, same interior, same front end, same everything other than 6.7 and a 68. And then I really like the 10 to 12s. I know a lot of some other guys might disagree with me. They, you know, all the ECMs are bad, or you can't tune them, blah, blah, blah. I like them. It gives you the fourth gen, you know, gives you that newer interior, different body style. Pretty much same front end, other than they went to, like, you know, the 1550 style U-joints, you know, in the front axles, which are a little bit better, but still the same crappy front end from 2003. So, you don't really start getting anything sweet till like 2014, but then you get into all these other lists of, well, now I got this, you know, more modern fancy truck. It's got all these other modules on it, all this BS stuff to go wrong. So, like, like we're fighting one right now. It's got a Parktronics issue and the damn shifter thing isn't communicating with this other module. And it's just a pain in the ass. So like, I would say overall, like the early 07s, we see a ton of head gaskets. 07 to 09s, they're head gasket eaters. I don't know if they forgot to tighten the damn cylinder heads, you know, down at the factory that year, but they, and you know, the 10 to 12 is a little bit better. 13, 14 plus stuff, we see probably a, you know, 60% less head gasket issue with the newer ones than the earlier years. I thank Chrysler every day for putting 342 gear trucks, you know, 342 gears in their six, in the, you know, all the 2500, 3500s with 68s, because they are dropping like flies. Like that's probably, it's probably 35% of my business is doing 68s. So there's that to consider. There's just not one issue. Like, you know, the newer trucks, way better front end. They're almost as good as a Ford, like drivetrain, not as good. I'd say Ford's got, you know, the best drivetrain front ends. You don't really have to touch them, put some hub bearings. Dodges, you know, they definitely upgraded the steering. You know, there really isn't just one issue. You know, the newer trucks have better front ends. The older ones, crappy front end. You can replace them, but you're going to need to do ball joints every 100,000 miles. You know what I'm saying?
Are the emission systems more reliable on the newer ones? And if so, what year range would you say that they are versus like the horror stories we've heard about the 07.5 to 09s and all the issues?
19, like, I don't want to jump the gun, but the 19 and up stuff, it's really good. Like we're not like, you're not too bad. That 13 to 18 window, you know, you're chasing sensors. And unfortunately, you know, for what a lot of us have done in the past, not so much now, is you made it fall off because you're chasing stuff. And then you end up being the dealer. They get pissed off at you, but you can't really do that anymore. So, the emissions are definitely better on the 13 and 18 stuff, you know, the DEF and stuff, but they still seem like sensor nightmares versus the new ones. They're also not as the new ones are better because they're newer, right? You know, so we're not seeing all those failures. We haven't had to do a ton of diag on the 19 and up stuff yet. So I'm sure it's coming, you know, like we've got really good with that. But, you know, the 10 to 12s and 07-8, like there's no DEF. They just plug up. There's really no fixing. There's no fixing that issue other than, you know, what guys would do in the past, what we've all done in the past. And a lot of them are done. So, you know, thank God I don't have to, you know, we can just fix the truck, right? So a lot of the stuff that comes in here, I would say, you know, unfortunately, it's probably 80%. Like we rarely get a bone stocker in anymore. You know, we're talking brand new customers, never seen them before. And I don't know, they got it, you know, it's just been done. So luckily we don't have to deal with that stuff too much, you know, on the older ones anymore, because it's, you know, not there.
Let's say for somebody with a newer one where they don't want to run into those issues, what's a good maintenance schedule or a way to drive the truck or just to be able to, you know, prevent that kind of clogged DPF issue? And then you got to source a new DPF from, you know, the dealership or something like that.
Yeah, just driving them, you know, putting actual miles on them, you know, not extended, you know, like, you know, not extended idle intervals. Like you can't just let the thing sit there and, you know, or, you know, if your wife's just, you know, taking it uptown to get groceries, you know, a couple times a week, like they like to be driven. They like heat running through the system. They like a trailer behind them. You have to drive them. You can't sit there and, you know, I got a lot of guys in here that are, you know, construction guys or managers or what have you. And, you know, they're sitting in their truck all day, you know, writing, doing laptop stuff, and they just leave the darn things idle all day. Like we'll check some of the idle hours on some of the like 6-7 Fords that come in here. You know, we're like, this guy's got, you know what I mean? Like, holy cow. But it's, yeah, just driving them. You know, I would say like the best trucks that we get in here are my hot shot guys that are driving these things. You know, they got 500,000 miles on them. But I tell you what, those things, like they're in good shape. The emission systems work good because they're getting used. They're not getting, you know what I mean? Like they don't have excessive soot accumulation. They just, you know, they're driven every day and they don't shut them off. And that's kind of, that's kind of the ones that we see a lot less issues with.
You mentioned on the transmission side, which I know is a, it's a huge part of any 6.7 Cummins conversation, you know, that pops up. What kind of solutions do you recommend for people with, I wouldn't say like the street or the racing side of it, but the guys who are towing every day, they might have a tune on it, you know, some upgrades here and there, maybe high 400, low 500 horsepower range. What kind of built transmission option or setup do those guys need?
So we, you know, typically, you know, there's a lot to be had with the stock converter. The stock converter is really inefficient. It creates a lot of heat. Like you don't, it's, it just, there's really not a lot there. Like it works okay until you, when I feel you start putting a load behind it and you just don't like, you're just like, come on, come on, come on, you know? So like a really good torque converter goes a long way, a little bit lower stall. Some of the a lot better fluid coupling is going to move your trailer from stoplight to stoplight faster in an unlocked state. Like that goes a long way, but like with a 68, it's a snowball effect. As soon as you want to upgrade your torque converter, something a little bit more aggressive, you know, like it's going to lock up a little bit better. It's going to couple fluid better. Well, then you have this input shaft that likes to say, you know, F you, if the converter catches just right. And then, you know, then it destroys the pump. So that's why, like, you know, when customers are shopping for 68s, like there's really no like cheap one, because like, I want to sell my customer, you know, a good transmission that he's going to be happy with. So I got to put a good torque converter in it. Right. Well, a good torque converter requires a good billet input shaft. Well, then we have the problem with the stock flex plates, you know, like everyone knows those are an issue on a Cummins. And we get so many guys in here that like their flex plates balloon out, you know, it takes out the back cover, you know, where they were at another shop, they put a good converter in it, didn't do the flex plate converter, you know, or flex plate balloons out or cracks and breaks. So like, it's just, it's a snowball effect of like, listen, this, I know it costs $8,500 or $9,000 installed, but you know, I can get you 6,000 or 65, but you're going to miss out like on all this other good stuff. You know what I mean? And that's, I think that's the good key to a 68 is just having like, you know, you just do good parts and then you either have, if the truck has, if it's tuned or whatever, have the proper calibration or at least have a good module on there that is getting, you know, the correct line pressure. And, you know, keep the thing out of overdrive, because a lot of them are 342 gear trucks. So like, and they lug, if they have a crappy shift strategy, the trucks really like to lug a lot. So like it's low throttle input, high torque, and you have lower line pressure, you know, at that, you know, that low RPM, low boost, if, you know, depending on how your line pressure is ramped, and well, then it fries overdrives, you know, cause they're lugging so bad. So there's a lot that goes into those things.
Has re-gearing them started to become something that's more popular, people ask you for, like getting away from the 342s, going to something, you know, a little bit more aggressive to not just tow, but also the daily driving part of it and the acceleration part?
Yeah, like, well, you know, 410s are really popular, but you almost need, you got to have pretty much a true 35 inch tire or larger to have a 410 feel good in a 68 truck, in my opinion, as far as going down the road and not like, you know, being too loud or droning, or like having the RPM range just right. So like, I don't know, like the 342s aren't too bad if you have like the proper calibration, if you're able to adjust shift points, things like that. It's just hard. It's a hard nut for a customer to swallow if they're going to pay $8,500 for a trans and then another $3,000 for gearing. Like, it's just, it's a lot, you know? So it's tough. I mean, some shops, they won't even do a trans unless they re-gear. I haven't gotten there yet, but you know, like I said, cause it's tough. I mean, it's just a lot of money we're talking. I mean, it's just a lot of money. So like, you just have to, you know, I try to talk to every customer, explain them the different scenarios, what I would suggest, and then kind of let them, you know, like I would say it's, we're probably in that 30% range where a guy's like, I want to gear it. I'm like, all right, let's do it. I mean, I've even done quite a few just 373s. I know it sounds dumb, but going from a 342 to a 373 even makes quite a bit of a difference. If we're just talking, you know, stock 32 and a half inch tires, like even 373s makes a big difference. Like we just did, we did a 19, and these are pretty much stock trucks. We did a 19 last week put our 68 in at stage three, 410 gears. And then I did 18, same week, 342s. And damn, did that 410 truck just drive so much better. You know what I mean? But he had a little bit smaller tires. It was a dually. Like, he was borderline, you know what I mean? Because, like, once he got up to, like, 75, 78, it was hovering in that, like, 2,000, you know, RPM range. And I don't know. I think the sweet spot is, like, 1850. If you can get him hammering there on the highway, like, it's just below, like, some harmonics that you get from the road and the engine noise and all that stuff. I don't know. That's just kind of where I like to see him, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those hard things where – you think about the money involved in a transmission and then gearing, and you think, you know, if I walked into a shop and like, okay, it's going to be 11 to 12 grand for this. And then you think, okay, now what if I was doing compound turbos and a dual CP3 setup and all these other cool things I can look at? Okay, 11 to 12. All right. I can kind of see, you know, it's more exciting to do it. You know, it's something you can, you know, chat about with your friends, but once you get into the, you know, the transmission and the gearing, it's tough, but it's also so crucial because you feel it no matter what you're doing. They're doing 2 miles an hour, 75. And then I'm sure, as you know, like those flex plate issues, you do this nice transmission, stock flex plate brakes, not going anywhere. You got a tow bill. You got to pull the whole thing out. Mm-hmm. You got to redo it. It's just more and more money. Mm-hmm. But I think that's some really good information for people who looking out there on the used market and are, you know, interested in a 6.7, some things that you see at the shop level and some tips that they can go on if they do pick up one of these trucks and I need to do something. But yeah, man, it was great to catch up with you, chat with you. It's been really cool to see you throughout the years, not just you, but also your company and the growth and everything that you're doing, you know, in racing. And like I said, that blue truck's one of my favorite ones that we've ever chatted about on the podcast. One I've ever seen. So
I don't know. Like I got a long way to go because like, I still remember sitting, you know, at TS watching, Seth's old truck, you know, the second gen, Shy truck. Like that's what got me into it. I was like, man, one day I want to be like, I could be as fast as that thing, you know? So like that truck, I feel like is like the iconic truck that maybe got a lot of people going. I don't know. I think I'm just trying to have like the end of the day, like, I don't know if it'll ever be, but I'm hoping that like a blue truck, you know, like I don't plan on it going anywhere. I'm hopefully, knock on wood, hopefully we don't, you know, don't ever have an accident with it where it, you know, gets destroyed or anything. But like, I'm hoping it, you know, it becomes like the second generation. I, you know, like an iconic truck that, you know, started here and ended up here. And, you know, I think we got really good plans of burying that four-wheel drive record even deeper this year. And I think we're going to do some things, you know, this year that, you know, now maybe people might think they're possible, probably didn't think a year ago before we come out. Like, I think, you know, we got some stiff goals. Like, I think we got a 30 in it pretty easily. You know, 20s maybe. I don't know. I don't know how hard, like, you know, I've been talking to Chase, the guys at Freedom. They're like, I think you can do 20s. I'm like, bro, I want to go racing all year. Like, you know, we're talking, it's, you know, we're leaning 3,000 horse out of this damn thing to go, you know, and that's true track, you know, track horsepower calculator, all that good stuff. Like, we're making steam. And I don't like, yeah, I want to prove, but I don't really don't know if I have anything to prove other than like, I just want to go race. Like, yeah, we're at the point now, I just want to make the truck better. Like, I want to make it 60 foot better. I want to make it 330 better. Like, I don't want to be the dumb diesel guy anymore that let's just add more power. Let's add more power. Like, I want to become a race. Like, I've always been a racer, but I want to become like a better racer. You know what I mean? I want to learn the track better. I want to, you know, learn how track temp, excuse me, affects my truck. You know, I don't care about the guy next to me, but like, I just want to be a better racer and try to get better that way instead of, cause we're making plenty of power and we're holding it together. We just got to work on our short game and which then we'll go fast.
I think that's the really important part. Like you mentioned Seth's truck and the only reason I'm sitting here doing a podcast with you is because I saw that truck run 15 years ago and I saw it stage. I didn't care about diesel trucks. I wasn't interested in them at all till I saw it stage at Bandimir. And I'm like, oh my God, what is this thing? Like it was an experience that interested me enough to decided, you know, make this a career, did the same thing for you. And I think with people, you know, seeing yourself and lots of other racers out there, that can change the direction of somebody's life, what they want to do with it, what mm-hmm. they want to invest their time in. So it's always why I love chatting with, you know, you guys out there that are doing these things, because you don't know who's in the stands. You don't know who's going to see it.
You've never lived till you're sitting there. Like, I remember at Indy, this was probably 14, 15. It was just when I was starting to man, I'm going fast. You know what I mean? But I wasn't going fast. Right. Like I it was racing against Seth and I got him. And I'm like, oh yeah, I got him. And I'm like, come on. That some bitch just right past me. You know, that's when we start running quarter and I'm like, damn it. You know what I mean? I almost had him, you know, like the Fast and the Furious, I almost got you, you know, like it was, I tell you what, that was that truck for me, like, you know, just really did it. Like, man, I want to go fast one day. And tell you what, it's been a lot of work, and it's been a lot of fun and a lot of heartache, but like, it's cool. Like to see where we're at. And, you know, we got a lot of people that look up to us, which is really cool. And we got a lot of good people behind us. That's, you know, been behind me for a lot of years. So like, I just feel really good about moving forward. Now, all this stuff that like we learned, that we like, you know, not to touch on what we, all the stuff we messed up and what we know now, like, wow, like I want to go back out and do Street Outlaws again, like go back out to Wyoming. Like I want to, like, that's the stuff I really want to go do, because now I feel like we might have a chance. You know what I mean? Like, so that's, I got some pretty good goals. I think we're gonna have a good year.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you chatting with me today, Derek, and keep me updated on the truck and other cool things you guys are working on. And I'll definitely be watching to see some of these races and these things that you're doing.
Sweet. Well, I thank you for having me, Pat.
Don't forget, Diesel Vans, make sure and head on over to kershaw.kaiusa.com. Use code 20diesel for 20% off site-wide. They've got a ton of knives, ton of cool gear there. And we appreciate them offering this discount code just for you guys. So it's a great way to save some money, get some cool gear, regardless of what your budget is. They've got something to be able to meet your goals. Also want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters, Tyler Lowen of 23 Diesel, John, Joe, J. Cole. We appreciate all of our Patreon supporters, all of you on our Discord, YouTube, podcast apps, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. You guys keep us going with your questions, your comments, letting us know what you want to hear and who you want to hear from. And we'd love to be able to deliver that to you. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.